Good morning, everybody. Get out your Bibles, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 is where we are in this series, the second message today in the nature of real church. The nature of real church. Our theme this whole year is real church. What does it mean to be the church that God designed us to be? Not a church that the world has kind of molded, or even, you know, the fads that come in and out of church life. And the Bible has something to say about what real church is. And so we've been learning that, where the power comes from, what it looks like, the different giftings that God gives us. And now we're in the nature. What's the DNA of real church? Today we're talking about joy. I don't know if there is a greater joy than when your first child is born. There's lots of joys in life, but that one strikes me as particular as I look back over my life and I thought of what are the greatest joys. And I remember that whole scenario so vividly. And I had two children that followed our first one, but they're not any less joyful. But that first one, you don't know what's coming. The second ones, you kind of get it. You kind of know what you can prepare yourself for. And I remember it was time for our baby to be born, and we didn't know the gender. We didn't do any reveals or anything like that. We wanted to be surprised. And so, this little baby is getting ready to be born. And on, February the 20th at midnight, we felt like that the child was coming. And we had our stuff all packed and ready to go. And so Sandra said, the contractions are pretty close. I think it's time. I think we should go. So we shot down to Good Sam in San Jose, drove down the freeway, got there, and we were calm. We checked in. We had everything dialed. The bags were full. We're like, okay, I think we got this. And maybe we were too calm because the contractions started to get farther and farther and farther and farther apart. Until in that morning, they just said, you guys should just go home. The child's not coming, at least not now, in this moment. And so we were just like, wow, kind of, I would say we were disappointed because we know it's going to happen at some point, but you just get all revved up, you know what I mean? You're like, ah, and then like, oh, and it didn't happen. So we didn't sleep all that night. We did our best to make it through the day. And then about midnight the following night, on the 21st, she says, no, it's happening now. This is the time. And so we go in again, and now we've already checked in. We kind of already got a dial to get into the room, and then it slowed down again. But not like before. So we knew the child was still going to come, and the doctor came and started to help a little bit all the way till that next morning. So now we got two nights where we hadn't slept. And in that morning, the doctor came and began to check her, and there wasn't an assistant with the doctor, and I don't remember exactly why there wasn't one, but I was the only one besides the doctor and my wife in the room. And so the doctor says, okay, you're going to help me. You're my assistant. I'm like, well, I've never been there before. I don't know how. Okay, go in the drawer and get this and help me and do this and do that. And we realized that the baby was not in the right position to be born. The baby was kind of flipped over. And so she said, we got to get this baby flipped over or we may have to do a procedure. So we got Sandra up on her hands and knees in hopes that the baby would kind of go, whoa, that's a different spot. I better kind of get it right. And we're just kind of going through this and it's getting a little more nervous. And my biggest fear, and I hate to say this because I don't want to make it sound badly, for people who have had children with a birth defect, but I was just petrified. I was petrified that our child would be born with some kind of defect. And I know that families that have that occurred, they do great and the children are loved and wonderful. But that was just inside of me. And so as the baby's starting to come and I'm helping the doctor and giving things and Sandra's there and she's doing so great. And by the way, she wanted an epidural and that didn't happen because there was no, so she's like, we're going natural. And she's like, oh great, this is going to be wonderful. So it comes time, the baby starts to crown. And as the baby starts to crown, I'm able to see the top of the little head. And along the top of the head, there's this ridge that's right over the top of the head. And my fear about having a child that was not, you know, perfectly healthy was in my brain. And I saw that ridge and I thought, oh my God, we're giving birth to a Klingon. If you're a Star Trek person, you understand what that means. I'm not even a Star Trek person. I don't know where that came from. But I thought this little, like, we've got an alien. It's the thing across the head. But the baby was born, and that ridge wasn't a ridge at all because the baby had turned. The umbilical cord was kind of wrapped around the neck and then over the top. So in all of the, you know, those of you have babies, it's kind of hard to differentiate. And it was that cord that I thought was part of the head. But our daughter came out, and then that first little cry, and I remember my wife's first words, "Oh, I've got my girl." And the joy that was in that room, and we're crying and, you know, the whole bit. And I don't know if there's a greater joy than that new life, than that precious child. God puts the joy in us. It's not something we can just conjure up. And even people who don't know Jesus, they can have joy because they're made in the image of God. They've got the breath of God in them as a result of their being a created being by our Lord and Savior. So we have joy because God put that in there. God put those emotions and that those feelings and that euphoria that comes. And you've all remembered times when you've had that joy in your life. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. It's not something we can make up. God puts it in there. It's the fruit of His Spirit. As a result of God's Spirit being in us, there's a joy that's even greater than the world can understand. There are other qualities we learned about last week, those qualities of the sinful nature. And they're there to help us find out, are we living by the Spirit or are we living by the sinful nature? And those things are, you know, jealousy and envy and rage and selfish ambition and then some really, you know, out there stuff. You can tell if you're living in the Spirit by what comes out of you and by what's inside. And one of the things that you can tell you're living by the Spirit when it's inside of you is joy. God is the one who transforms us this way. Maybe you might be a naturally just kind of glass half empty kind of a person. Some people are just naturally joyful. Doesn't matter what's going on. They can find a silver lining in every gray cloud, these people. But others, maybe not so much. Listen, every single person can experience the joy of the Lord because it's His joy that's inside of you as a result of His Holy Spirit. Apple trees don't bear cherries. When the Holy Spirit is in you, He's going to bear the fruit. And that's who He is. The thing about joy, though, the joy that God gives, is there doesn't have to be an event like the birth of a baby or some great thing. There doesn't have to be that event to make the joy come. Because it's not an interchange. The good thing is there, therefore I'm joyful. The bad thing is there, therefore I'm not joyful. It's God's nature. We got to get this so that way we can understand how to live in joy all the time. It's not tied to an event. It's not tied to some kind of good end to the story. We certainly feel joy sometimes, and sometimes we don't feel it, but we can have it inside. Let me give you a definition. I don't know if it's a perfect definition, but it's one that I kind of like according to what I see in the Scripture. So it reads this way. Joy is an expression of delight arising from the consideration of a present good or assured possession of a future good. Let me say it again and respond with me, okay? Say it with me. Joy is an expression of delight from the consideration of a present good or assured possession of a future good. So let me walk that through. It's an expression. We have over here one of our behaviors says express joy. When joy is in you, you express it. It's either a facial expression or an outburst of emotion or just a light in your step. That joy is to be expressed. And that expression is based on either a present good or an assured future good. The present good. What are some of the present goods that we know exist no matter what's going on around us? Is God good? That's a present good. Is God here? Yes, He is. Is God faithful? Is God with me? God is for me. God is pleased with me and loves me. God is my defender. God is my refuge. God is my comforter. God is my healer. God is my righteousness. God is good. Those are present realities. Amen? So joy is based on what the present good is. It's also based on an assured future good. That even though God is good and God is all those things, sometimes in this life we get our perspective messed up a little bit, and we need to realize that there's also the assurance of a future good. God will truly work all things together. God is always working. And church, Jesus is returning for us. No matter what we feel in this world, there is a second coming. There will be a trumpet blast. There will be a return of our Lord and Savior. And he won't look like the same crucified lamb. He's going to look like a reigning king. And his eyes will be fire. And the sword will be on his side. And he's coming in on a white horse. And on his robe is written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he is going to come. And we're going to go with him. That's an assured future good. Thank you. So we got everything. We got win-win here, right? We have the present good and we have the assured future good. And that has nothing to do with what happens in day-to-day life. Those things always exist. They're always present. So with that in mind, let me give you four principles about joy. Four principles. Number one, joy is a focus before it is a feeling. Say it with me. Joy is a focus before it is a feeling. Joy is a feeling, but it comes from a place deeper. It comes from a place that's way in there. It's not just on the surface in your mind where it's like, oh, good day, bad day. Good thing, bad thing. Because we'll be bouncing off all over the place. Joy comes from a deeper place inside of our spirit. It comes from God, and our focus needs to find its place, and then the feelings come. How many know that you can be joyful but not have feelings? It's possible. But when you understand God's present good and his assurance of a future good, those feelings can change when that perspective is right. What I know is that you can't chase the feeling. If you chase the feeling, you'll find yourself, like Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, chasing after the wind. Because it's just so elusive trying to, I want to feel good. I want to be happy. I want to be joyful. And that's the focus. That's number one. You got the cart before the horse. When you focus on who he is, the present good and the assured future good, when you focus on his nature, his qualities, his promises, even though you don't feel like it, you know what happens? The feelings tend to follow the focus. And we get it the other way around. I don't feel good, so God must be absent. I don't feel good, so God must not be answering my prayers. I don't feel good, so God must be mad at me. I don't feel good, so I must have sinned, and now God's disciplining me. And we look for the feeling. God says, no, no, no. The focus comes first. The feelings come next. I focus on the nature. You sang it this morning. The wind blew, and I forget the words of the song. But my house is built on you. You know, in your life, sometimes the wind blows, the rains come, and the floodwaters rise, right? Sometimes it happens. And some of you are in that right now, going, yeah, I'm in a flood. I feel like I might get, you know, taken apart by the torrent. And God says, no, you won't. Not if your house is built on me. Not if your house is built on the firm foundation. Sure way to lose your joy is to compare yourself to others or compare your situation to other people, being concerned about what other people think about you, because those are all tied to feelings. I want to feel good. I want to feel accepted. I want to feel approved of. I want to be liked and all those things. And those aren't bad things necessarily to want those things, but we already have been accepted. We already have been liked. The God of the universe loves you. The God who created everything is approving of you. And he made you just the way you are. And that's our firm foundation. I've learned, man, in this day of social media, you say one wrong thing and you put it out there and everybody that you thought were your friends are pretty soon, you know, unfriend, 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 unfriend. Well, where'd you go? I thought you were my friends. That's fickle. People are fickle. God is not. God is never fickle.
Some are just discouraged. I just want a job that I don't hate. I just want bills that I can actually pay. I just don't want to fight with my spouse all the time. Discouragement can slip in. And when that happens, we've got to get our focus back. Say, wait a minute. Who is my God? Who is he now? And what are my promises? What are the things that he's promised to give me? You can go through anything when you've got the right perspective. Anything. I remember back one of the times, there's been many times, but this one just came in my brain when I was studying for this. Back in the late 80s when the Loma Prieta earthquake came. There's two or three times when I can actually say I got mad at God. I just lost my focus and I was so mad. And some of you that were alive during that time, I know it's been a while ago, I was getting my VCR ready to record the World Series. Yeah, we're going way back. And I had my VCR all programmed. I was so excited because it was the A's versus the Giants. And I was so excited. And I had it there, and the A's had already won the first two games, and I knew we were just going to crush the evil empire. It's going to be so great. And I was in the restroom, shaving or something, and when the quake just suddenly out of the blue, it hit, and our little second floor apartment started to vibrate, and the furniture literally vibrated into the middle of the floor, pictures fell off the wall, and the biggest thing is I could hear my kitchen coming apart. One of those little galley kitchens, and the earth was shaking this way. So it shook, and all of, like, my dishwasher opened the door, and then when it shook back the other way, all the dishes fell the other way. My dishwasher was full of broken glass this deep. I was up to about mid-shin in broken things. And I look at my house and go, my, what? And, you know, it didn't shake very long, but it was rocking. And I dealt with that okay. And for some reason, our house was the only one that the phone still worked. There were no cell phones. At least we didn't have any. And so they all had to come up to use our landline. And I was kind of managing that. But then everybody kind of went back to their place, was fixing their own homes. It was the aftershocks that got me. The first one rocked, and I'm like, whoa, that was crazy. Can't believe that happened. And then the aftershock, boom. I'm in glass trying to clean up the place. And then boom, another one. And then boom, another one. And I said, God, you can stop this anytime you want. And I knew he could, but the fact that he wasn't was really ticking me off. Like, isn't one bad enough? And I remember getting so mad at God. I lost my joy. I was not joyful. There was no, oh, but God is in control. Oh, but he'll work this together for good. Heck no. I was ticked. Anybody ever been there when you're just like, I lost my perspective. I cannot find it in this moment. But you know it's there. And it took a little while to settle down. And then God began to do some cool things. And people began to come together and help each other. How do you do it? How do you find the perspective? How do you keep the focus even when the feelings aren't there? Well, the bullet point says, focus each day on the nature and promises of God. Every day, start. Focus on the nature and the promises. Write them down if you have to. Put them in a place. Do a Bible study and just list the nature of God. List the promises. You can't list the promises. There's thousands. But list the promises that are meaningful to you and meditate on those every day. Here's what Psalm 16:11 says. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with your joy in your presence. Present good. With eternal pleasures at your right hand. Assurance of future good. It's all there. God will fill you with that joy when you focus on his nature and his promises. 1 Peter 1:8 says this, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. That's the nature and promises of God. I don't see him. I don't see him now, but I believe in him and I love him. And even that sometimes isn't strong enough to keep my feeble mind from being jerked out of focus. And I got to bring it back and remember His nature, His nature, His nature, His nature. He is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. That's our God. And He will be with me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He will always guide me. He will always be my refuge. He is coming again. That's the future assurance. And when I focus on the promises in His nature, I'm going to be okay, and so will you. First point is what? Focus before feelings. Okay, say it with me. Focus before feelings. Number two, joy comes when you consider your burden a blessing. Say it with me. Joy comes when you consider your burden a blessing. Joy is about Jesus, and joy is about perspective. And joy comes when you consider your burdens a blessing. I know that a searchlight isn't very effective at noon. But you put the searchlight out at 9, 10 o'clock at night when it's pitch dark, that thing can light up, it'll light up the sky. Our joy is like that. When everything is great, when everything around us is great, when all the things are going well, then it's easy to be joyful. And you may not even realize that, you know, you're just kind of doing life. But when things are really, really hard, that's when the joy really is vibrant. And that's when people start to notice and go, what is with you Christians? Where is that coming from? I don't have that joy. I don't have it in my life. Is God good? That was a good time to say amen or yes or something like that. Is God good? Is God powerful? Is God present? Is God kind? Is He generous? Does God confuse us? Okay, good. I'm glad you caught it and didn't say yes. Then, bullet point, if God is good and all those things you said, then everything God does for us and with us will work for our good. If God is good, and you said you believe that He is, then what He's doing will be good. James 1, 2-4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers. Consider it. That's perspective. Right? Think about it and consider what's going on and consider it joy. Consider it joy, my brothers, whenever you face various kinds of trials. Because, okay, why should we consider it joy? Why can't we just say, this time right now just sucks? Why can't we say, this right now, I just hate it. Right now, I don't want to be here. Right now, this is lame. Right now, this is terrible. I don't want to. No, it says, consider it joy because. Because is a big word. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. God wants you to be complete, not lacking in anything. And so the burden that you think is a burden, if you consider it and look at it and say, God, there's got to be something here because I know You're good. And I know that You want me to be lacking nothing. So we've got to consider our burdens a blessing. Another scripture, Romans 8:28. You already know it. Quote it with me. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. You know that. Sometimes that rolls off the tongue so trite when we're trying to counsel somebody else. But when it comes to applying to us, sometimes we don't get the right perspective. If God is good, He's working for the good. If God loves you, He's working because He loves you. If God wants to develop the fruit in you, then He's going to do that. And sometimes it comes through burden. I remember a 4th of July. This weekend, it's been quite a few years ago, but some friends and Sandra and our kids and everything, we were going to go down to the Alameda County Fair to watch the fireworks. So we're on our way. We got on to 17 to make that cut over to 680 on Mission there. We weren't quite there yet when in front of us, a big 18-wheeler truck, the brake lining of the truck's back 8 wheels broke loose. And I never saw one of those things before. But those brake linings are about this thick, and the wheels really big. And they're like lead, these brake linings. And pieces of this were starting to be spread all over the freeway. And numerous cars ahead of us hit pieces and had ran over them, and their tires blew out and cars were pulling over. There was a kind of an arced piece from the shape of the wheel that was right in front of us. I tried to swerve and miss it, but I didn't want to try to swerve too much lest I lose control of the car. And I hit the front of it and immediately blew our tire out, shot that thing right up in the air, and I could see my rearview mirror. It went right through the windshield of the car behind us. Yeah, crazy. Fortunately, the person behind us wasn't seriously injured. The thing did go right through the windshield and hit her hand that was on the steering wheel. And so there was some cuts on her hand. But, man, that could have been death. And we pulled over. And everybody was kind of shook, and now what do we do? And we felt a little bit comforted because there was lots of cars that had experienced the same thing. So the CHPs came and the tow trucks and everything. But what I remember in the midst of all that craziness was the tow truck driver as he took me home, and then I was going to bring another vehicle back to pick up everybody and because the rim was damaged, so we couldn't drive the car. And I remember him having conversation, and I felt in my spirit that, God, you never do anything by accident. You never do. And we had a conversation in the 20 minutes it took to get home about Jesus in the tow truck driver's seat. And we talked about him, and this guy didn't know Jesus. Now, I didn't pray, that he would receive Christ, but he heard the message loud and clear. And I want to believe that someday when I'm in heaven, there's going to be a guy come up. He's going, do you remember that 4th of July? Because God is faithful to his word. If he prompts you, he's doing something. And I remember, I look back at that and go, man, that was not a good night. We missed everything and our fun was wrecked and the car got, and people got hurt. But God, you are doing something even in the midst of a burden. Your burdens are blessings when you trust God. So number one, focus before feelings. Number two, joy comes when you consider your burdens a blessing. Number three, joy comes when you find purpose in the pain. Say it with me. Joy comes when you find purpose in the pain. How many of you really grow when things are going great? I almost never do. I grow more when things are tough. Well, of course, because then you've got to depend on the Lord. Then you really got to work to keep your perspective. You've got to make some adjustments in your mind and in your spirit. And like an athlete or like any other person, that when it's hard, that's when you develop. Because you focus and you put your effort in. And then you gradually, little by little, start seeing things develop and grow. God allows pain. He allows pain for a purpose. And we've got to get that inside of our mind. Pain is not random. It's not like God goes, oh, didn't see that coming. Wow. Oh, I'm so sorry you're going through that. I did not have a plan for that. Now, God always has a purpose. He's ahead of us. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's beyond time. He knew you were going to go through the struggle before you even got there. Before you were born, he knew. There's always purpose in the pain. And some things can only be accomplished by going through the pain. Some things can only be accomplished through a painful situation. So trust that God has a purpose in every trial. Hebrews chapter 12, 2-3, it says this. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. There's that word again. Think about it. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. God went through the greatest pain that ever existed on planet Earth. He not only went through a physical pain, he had all the sin of the world, past, present, and future, on him all at one time, and the separation of the Son from the Father for a moment when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? My sin was on him. Your sin was on him. The pain was less about the crown of thorns and the beatings than it was the spiritual rending. But there was purpose in that. As the scripture says, Jesus endured that. Now, there wasn't an emotional feeling of joy right there, but he saw the assured future promise. He said, for the joy set before him, he endured the present hardship. There was purpose in the pain. There was a reason for that. In other places of Hebrews, it talks about why Jesus had to go through all of that, so that there would never be any of us who ever lived on this planet could look at Jesus and say, but you don't understand my situation. Oh no, he understands it full well. For he has been tempted like us in every way. And he suffered worse than any of us ever. So he gets it. There's purpose in the pain. Christ suffered that. And we're to consider him so that we don't lose heart. God wants us to have our joy retained. So consider him. If Jesus can go through that, and if there's purpose in the pain, then I don't really like the pain. Jesus wanted out of it. He said, God, if there's any other way, let this cup pass away from me. But not my will, yours be done. He knew there was a purpose. And in your pain right now, there's a purpose. I don't know what it is. You might not even know what it is. It might not turn out to be a really, really great happy ending story, because maybe the purpose is development inside of you. But there's always a purpose. 1 Peter 4:13 says this, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. When we see there's purpose in the pain, and we endure through, there's a joy at the end. And that end may be when we see him face to face, and he looks at us and he says, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You endured. And if we never see the answer on this earth, let me tell you, that well done is worth it. We focus on the feeling. There's blessing from the burden. There's purpose in the pain. And last, joy comes when you choose to obey God's commands. It's simple. This one, this is it. This is the simple, can't be any simpler. Just obey. Obey. Every day, every moment, every opportunity, obey. Do what he says. Joy comes from the pleasure of God, or the pleasure God has in his children when they obey him. I remember when those little ones were born and they obeyed, how much pleasure I got. When I'd ask them to do something, they'd say, yes, Dad. Or if my grandkids grow up and I ask them to do something and they do it, oh, feels so good. Feels so good. They get it and they understand. When you obey God, two things happen. You feel joy because you did the right thing. It feels good to do the right thing, doesn't it? Even if you didn't want to do it, there's that congruence that happens in your spirit, that there's an agreement between you and the Holy Spirit that's in you, and you feel better because you did it right. And it feels good. But there's also not secondary and less important, just another thing that happens. And that, remember, the Spirit of God is inside of you. This joy is the fruit of the Spirit. So when you do it right, the Holy Spirit inside is pleased. And so when the Spirit inside of you is pleased, His joy overflows into your life as well. So you get this double whammy of joy that I did it right. Wow. Oh, thank God, I'm growing. This, you know, I did the right thing and I feel good. And the Holy Spirit goes, yeah, you did it right. And I feel good too. And there's that beautiful connection of your life and your spirit. Here's what Jesus said, John 15:10-11. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and obey and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. His joy will be in you. Jesus' joy in you. And that your joy may be complete. My joy in you, your joy be complete. How do you get that? I want that, don't you? I want Jesus' joy overflowing in my life. I want my joy to be complete. Here's how you get it. Obey. Just as I obeyed the Father, remain in his love, you obey and remain in his love. That's how it comes. That's how you get it. Nehemiah said it this way, the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's the joy we have in the Lord Like I quoted before, we don't see him, but we believe in him and we love him. Therefore, my heart is joyful. But there's also the joy of the Lord, the joy that belongs to the Lord. And when his heart is filled with joy because you have obeyed his commands, that overflows into your life. And that just rushes through like a river. Well, God is happy because I did the right thing. God is pleased. God is joyful. And because that spirit is in us, it's just overflowing. That's the inexpressible, undefinable joy. Don't you want that? I do. He doesn't care. Listen, he cares about sin. He cares that we don't do it. He cares that that's putting something else in front of obeying him. But let me tell you this. So one of the devil's great, great lies and strategies is this. Once you've sinned, then he begins to pound you with all kinds of guilt and shame to try to keep you in that place. When God is wanting you to say, listen, I know I did it. I know it was wrong. He just says, confess it. Confess it and then get back in right standing. Because God is already in right standing with you. I didn't love my kids any less when they disobeyed. I wasn't happy that they did it. Because now we have to do some discipline, but my love never changed. When you sin, God's love never changed. So why not just confess it and get right back in his love instead of hearing the devil's voice saying, you're a loser, you're lousy, God is mad at you, you should be ashamed of yourself, he's never going to love you again, he's never going to be happy with you, he's never going to bless you, he's never going to answer your prayers. Has anybody felt those feelings when you've messed up? I have. And it's lies. All lies. As soon as we confess, he said he is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. Done. Okay, get back up and let's get moving. Four things, say them with me. How do we find the joy of the Lord? How do we live in that? Number one, focus before feelings. Okay, we're going to focus. Focus on his nature, focus on his promises. Number two, burden. There's a blessing in the burden. Life's tough sometimes. There's a blessing in there because God is working. He always does. Number three, there's purpose in the pain. There's purpose in the pain. Always is. It might hurt right now. You might be struggling, but there's purpose. And number four, obey. Obey. Choose to obey. So let's make a decision. Pastor Sean, you can come. Let's make some decisions. Have you lost sight of God's nature and promises in the midst of your struggle? Does it feel like his promises are a million miles away? That his nature is just somehow clouded? Let's refocus. Refocus. A great way to refocus is through worship. As we go into it's kind of prayer time, our lingering time. Let's refocus. Refocus on who he is. Are you feeling a burden right now? And you can't see through it? You won't always know what the blessing is. That's not for us to know what the blessing is. It's for us to have faith that there is one. Let's rejoice. God is doing something. I don't know what it is, but I know God. And if I focus on his nature, then I know he's working. There's purpose in the pain. He's got you. He's never going to leave you. Trust him. Trust him that even though it hurts, there's a joy set before you. Endure the pain for the purpose of the joy. And some of us just simply need to be more obedient. We just need to say, yes, Lord, just all the time. And some of us are struggling with saying, yes, Lord. Philippians says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We've just learned how to do that. Now let's apply it today and live that way throughout the week. I'm going to ask you if your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. You don't have to do that right now. We're going to linger in a moment, but because I think this is common enough that we need not, you know, be secret-y. But how many would say, I need to be able to find my focus, the blessing and the burden, the purpose and the pain? I need to say yes, Lord, because I really, really want to live in His joy. If you've been battling, and you need to renew that today, I guess to pray for each other. This is a little bit different. If any of those things apply to you, you really just need the joy of the Lord. Would you just stand to your feet? It's right where you are. Just stand up. It's okay. Stand up. I need to be able to focus instead of the feelings. And the feelings will come. I need to find the blessing and the burden. I need to find the purpose and the pain. Anybody else? Just join me. We're just going to pray for each other. They're not weird. We're going to pray for each other. Anybody else join these? All right, if there are folks nearby these, I have a brother over here, some in the middle, some on the side. Just go to these people, would you? Just put a hand on their shoulder. And we're going to pray. You can go ahead and get up right now. Come on, let's go. Let's pray for each other. Okay, make sure everybody has somebody. Esther needs some a sister or brother to come in and put a hand on her shoulder. Okay, thank you. And let's pray right now. Let's pray right now that the joy of the Lord would fill each life. And that God will do something really, really great. Let's pray. God, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for your promises. I thank you for your nature. I thank you that you're always working. I thank you that you always have a plan. I thank you, Lord, that you want to put the Holy Spirit's joy. You want to give birth to it in a fresh way, in a mighty way, inside of our lives. And these are standing, Lord, because they're acknowledging that they want the joy of the Lord, that there's a battle going on. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that they'd be able to focus and proclaim that you are good. You are our lover, our bridegroom. You are our Father. You are our friend that sticks closer than a brother. You are the one who was always there. And you are preparing a place for us. And you will come again and take us there. God, I pray that they'd be able to find the blessing in the burden or the purpose in the pain. And they may not be able to even see it or feel it right now. They may be just so deep in the middle of it that the ending is so far away. But God, give them the faith and fill them with joy now that they know it's there. They know it's just a matter of endurance. They know it's just a matter of trusting you. They know it's a matter, Lord, of taking one more step, one more day, and saying, yes, Lord, I will put my faith and trust in you. And therefore being filled with the joy of the Lord. God, I pray if there's obedience issues, Lord, that you would make known, clearly make known, what they need to do and what they need to change. God, I thank you and praise you for doing the work right now. For your word is promised, if we walk in this way, we will have the nature of the Spirit of God within inside of us. And we will be that city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Thank you, Lord, for the joy of the Lord. Thank you for your joy, Father, in us. We pray this in the name of Jesus, the strong Son of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's continue just to press in right now. Continue to press in and linger. And let's let the Holy Spirit just bathe us, all right? Pastor Sean leads us. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Those elders that are available to pray for folks, you can come on up, and if you have a particular need that you'd like somebody to join with you, you can pray with some of the elders. Let's seek Him right now. Let's find the joy of the Lord. If you've got to go, God bless you if you do. Let's seek His face. Pastor Sean.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which which I stand, when everything around me is shaken. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. I still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense, so I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I've built my life on Jesus, and he's never let me down. He's faithful in every season. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaken. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. Was built on you. I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it through. Rain came and wind blew. My house was built on you, and I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it through. Oh, rain came, wind blew, but my house was built on you, and I'm safe with you. My house will make it through. Yeah, gonna make it through, 'cause I'm standing strong on you. Yeah, I'm gonna make it through, 'cause my house is built on you. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaken. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. Of this world, I will lay them at your feet. Surrender every anxious thought for perfect peace. Your perfect peace. All the loved ones I hold dear, all my hopes and dreams and all my fears, I will choose to trust your name in everything, in everything. I will look up, for there is none above you. I will bow down to tell you that I need you, Jesus, Lord of all. Jesus, Lord of all. I will take you at your word. Jesus, you have taken hold of me. All my life is in your hands. You are my strength. You are my strength. I will look up, for there is none above. Faithful, I look ahead, believing you are able, Jesus, Lord of all. Jesus, Lord of perfect healer, oh my life, all my cares on you, the King of Kings, my daddy, Savior, all my life. All of my cares on you, Prince of Peace, perfect healer, all my life. All of my cares on you, the King of Kings, mighty Savior, all my life. All of my cares on you, Lord. All my hopes, my cares are on you. I will look up, for there is none above you. I will bow down to tell you that I need you, Jesus, Lord of all. I will look back and see that you are faithful. I look ahead, believing you are able, Jesus, Lord of all. You're Jesus, Lord of all. He is Jesus, Lord of all. You are Jesus, Lord of all. Hallelujah, Lord God, I pray that as we go from this place, that our joy would be set before us, Lord, that we would remind ourselves that you are our strength, you are our hope. And I pray, Lord God, that our joy would be full. We know, Lord, eternity awaits with you. I pray, God, that we move from this place and be an encouragement to those around us. Allow our lives, our actions, our words, our deeds, our thoughts to be reflective of you. Oh God, I pray. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.